The reading this morning is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 16. Page 212 in the New Testament section of the Bible. Pressing towards the goal. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind, and if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. This is the word of the Lord.
Does it live?
Ooh, yes,
it lives. Cool. Have we got a slide up there? Yeah, we do. Cool. Where did your race begin? No one? I'm opening this up to the floor. So, if you check the screen, it's pretty small here now. When did you meet Jesus? Okay, we've got some hands already. Go with me on this, because we're going to try and keep it short and sweet. Think of the date. There's a few frowns. Think of the location. That might be a bit easier. And then describe that. Boo. Describe that experience in one word. I'm being mean with that one. So date, location, and one word to describe that experience. Okay, here we go. Yeah. Overwhelmed. Can you remember the date? 13, and you were overwhelmed. Anyone else? Be brave. Yes. Captivated. Captivated. 8 years old in your bedroom looking out to the hills from Sycamore Drive, and you were captivated. Anyone else? Feel free to share. Be brave. I am this morning. Margaret, go ahead. New Year's Day, 1980. Love it. Can we get one more? Honoured. Can you remember when? About 40 years ago. That's so cool. So mine was in 2010, officially. It was at Soul Survivor, so big showground down in the southwest of England. And I'm going to use more than one word because I've got the microphone, so ha. Can we get the next slide? So that's roughly what Soul Survivor looks like. But when I was there, it was a lot bigger. So take that and plus that by about, six. Taller, bigger, wider. And to give you a bit more context, 2010, I'd come out of boarding school. I'd been in a boarding school for 3 years. And I'd had one hell of a time. I didn't really get on with anyone. No one really wanted to get on with me. I'd been in there since I was 11 till 14. And I came out having had a nervous breakdown just before coming up to my GCSEs. So it's like, if you were going to pick the worst time to have a nervous breakdown, that's somewhere to do with it. I'd been running away from the school a lot. This was down in Surrey. And I'd had enough. So I'd run down to the station, jump on the first train. Ironically, for those who know me, and just catch the train back to London and get sent back every time. And this one time, I'd run down this little path from the school down to the station. It was only like a 5-minute walk. And the path came onto the platform right at the end. And it's sort of the main route from London to Portsmouth. So you had quite a few fast trains coming through. And a train had just come in, and I'd just come onto the platform when who should step off the train but the headmaster of the school. And we're talking a big school, there's like over 1,000 kids in there. So this guy's pretty important. It's quite a posh boarding school, you know, down in Surrey. This guy steps off the train, and I'm far enough down the platform to clock him from a distance and think, this isn't going to be good if I end up getting seen by him. So I sort of ran behind the fence at the end of the platform, and I remember crouching behind this ivy, and I just sat as still as I could, and I waited till he walked past. Yeah, he's gone, cool. And I was so desperate in that moment that as I sat crouched behind that ivy, I saw these railway lines there and thought, what if I just finished it here? Because I'm that upset, I'm that miserable, I'm that out of my mind in pain and loneliness. And I didn't, because I'm here. So that's the level I was at, Soul Survivor 2010. And delirious, I'd just come out of the school and I was getting sort of ready to go into a new school back in London and sort of trying to psych up for GCSEs. Great. And I was standing there in this tent, six times bigger than that. Delirious were on the stage the first night and they'd had an amazing gig. It's not a gig, it's worship, but you know. They played all these massive songs. Anyway, the second night, Tim Hughes jumps on the stage. And he's playing fairly quietly at this point. And I was standing there in this massive crowd of teenagers. And I closed my eyes for a minute. And I felt, you know when you stand really close to someone, and I mean like that close, and you can feel the heat of their face and the heat of their body in front of you. I felt that. And I opened my eyes, and there was no one there. I thought, what? Closed them again, and it was there. It was still there. I opened my eyes, I closed my eyes several times, and it was still there. That heat, that presence of someone right there looking me in the face. And for the first time in over 3 years, I felt safe. And that was when my race began, really. If you're going to chase onto the finish, you've got to look back and you've got to start. Can we get the next slide? Now, I don't know about you. I don't know anything about races, really, except try and go really fast, and that never works for me, unless I'm on a train. Never mind. That's roughly what you have in your head when you think of a race, right? That's the first thing that came to my mind. It looks nice. It looks, I mean, those are great outfits. They're all in really good shape, and, you know, he seems happy, probably because he's winning. Running the race with Jesus can feel like that sometimes, can't it? Yes, I've got my hand in the Savior of the world's hand, and I'm doing life with him and through him and in him. I'm getting a bit Anglican there, sorry. And it's this amazing thing. Sometimes it can feel like this next picture. Am I right? Anyone else felt like that at some point during a race? This is the Tough Mudder Challenge. So it's basically a bunch of people have a race, but there's a lot of mud. And it feels like that sometimes, doesn't it? It can feel difficult and filthy and, God, what are you doing? But he's there, isn't he? He's there. Now, no holds barred, I am a Tolkien super fan. Sorry in advance. So I had to pick a bit of a clip from one aspect from The Lord of the Rings. And this is relatively backed up because Tolkien used a lot of Christianity for when he created the realms and the worlds that you can see in the films and in the books. And at this moment in Return of the King, Frodo the Hobbit, he's trying to get this ring into the worst place you can possibly imagine. It's like, you go in there, you don't come out, you are dead. And he's almost there. He's almost there. And he's been through absolute awful times to try and get there. He's just sent his best friend home because he's out of his mind almost with the trauma of what he's going through. And he's trying so hard to get to the end, to get to this massive volcano and throw a tiny ring into it with all the forces, quite literally, of hell on his heels. And let's just watch this clip and see.
So sorry, Sam.
This task was appointed to you, Frodo of the Shire. If you do not find a way, no one will.
At the end of his tether, he's so close, but so it feels like he's so far. And in that moment when he collapses and he's on his face in the dirt, he sees this vision. And Galadriel is thought by quite a few commentators to represent the Holy Spirit in a way. He sees this vision of someone reaching out to help and getting back on his feet, and he keeps going. I'm not going to spoil the rest of the story, but if you haven't read it by now, now's the time. So who is this race that is so difficult, and it's so, sometimes when you start, it feels impossible. What's going to keep us running? Who's it made you? I'm kind of still finding out who it's made me. We're going to find out all the way through life. By this point, I've come from this nervous breakdown 13-year-old to being happily married. I've got an amazing wife, two fantastic daughters. Those of you who know me a bit better, I've got a great job. and I'm sort of going to try and touch on that slightly, because it's what God's doing with my race that I wanted to encourage you with. When I was back on the Light Project, I did 1 year as a gap year. And before I did the second year, it was a bit unknown as to whether I continue. And I felt God saying, come out to this place in America. It's called the International House of Prayer. It's out in Kansas City. And they've got 24/7 prayer room. It's worship day and night, 24/7. And it was just a place to go and encounter God and see what God was saying into the situation. So I went out there. And I spent a week going to everything, doing everything. And God said nothing. And it got towards the end of this time, and I'm like, Lord, come on, we're on a clock here. I've got a flight in about 12 hours. You're really going to have to drop something in here. He said, you know, you like trains a lot. I was like, yeah, what? Go do that. And I'd had this idea, if you like, of what would it look like if you took a chapel or a church, something like that, and stuck it on a train, and have people get on the train and just be able to go into a space where God was there. Don't know. Still don't know, by the way. He said, go and do that. Try and run with that. Run your race with that as one of your focus. So I did, eventually. Joined the railway, and the vision has changed. It can't be my baby. It has to be what God makes of it, what he's made of it at the moment. You often say to God, here I am, send me. There's nothing in my hands, but here I am, send me. Well, what he's put in my hands at the moment is a driver's key and the ability to train people and to mold people and to encourage people into who they are. If you don't know, I train train drivers. And this is a process where they've got to come in and adapt themselves completely to a new mindset. It's risk focused. It's you only get one shot at this every second. There's no get out of jail free card. You have to be on it. How are you going to get into that mindset? So it's training, it's running, it's that race towards the finish line, which is hard. It's hard going, and it's hard teaching people and running with people in that. We've got someone running with us in this race, which can be hard, which can be amazing, which can be difficult, which can be rewarding. He runs with us. He picks us up at every stage. I don't know what the end of my race looks like. Well, I do actually. At one point, I'm going to enter glory, and it's going to be me and that guy who I was safe with there forever. Go back to your own race, and whoever you started that race getting to know, that finish line is you with him. With that feeling you started with of, I've found him forever. That's the prize. That's the focus. That's what Paul is talking about when he's saying, I'm going to keep running because I can't stop because he's too good. So what I want to finish with encouraging you all, I've really tried with my current trainee at work, I've really tried to get him to understand this all-encompassing mindset that you need to drive train safely and to have that focus all the time. And I wondered, what is something that can give us that focus for this race of life that we run with Jesus towards that end goal? And I was listening to one of the songs that we're going to be doing tonight at the New Wine service. And at one point, the guy on this recording, he stops and he reads this passage from Revelation 1. And it's about who Jesus is now that he's entered glory. He's defeated death for us and he's ascended and he's in glory. This is who Jesus is. This is the Jesus we know and the Jesus we're running this race with and the Jesus that we're running towards that finish line towards. So this is Revelation 1. When I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven gold lampstands. Standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face was like the sun in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead, but he laid his right hand on me and said, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave." So as we run this race together as a church family, as it has its highs and its lows, as it has its challenges and its amazing rewards, let's run with that same focus, because that's the guy standing at the finish line. Amen.